Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about the Christian faith and the walk of faith that it takes to become a Christian, to be a Christian, to live a Christian life. And so it's a great walk of faith, and it's a big subject in the Bible, something that we all need to study more about and then walk out our faith in this world as we live daily. And so we'll take up this subject here in just a minute. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start there in just a minute. Today we're going to be talking about a big subject, but before we get to our message today, I want to give you a brief update. What's happening over in Kenya? I'm coming to you from the USA today, and God bless the USA. I'm happy to be here. Over in Kenya, we have visitors actually coming today from Kansas, and they're coming to survey the children's home property and the church property and the other property we have, thinking about a school in the future, thinking about how we can lay out a school there. We need one more acre of land, then we can start to build a school. And we want to get a Wi-Fi service going in our village. We have Starlink Wi-Fi, believe it or not, in Kenya. We have Starlink Wi-Fi, and so we want to get that service to the village. Put up a tower, put the Starlink up on top of that tower, and broadcast Wi-Fi programming to the people in Makunda Village. And so this is a big vision. It's a long-term vision, but we want to have an education program going out over the internet, and also Christian programming, also maybe some instructional, educational type things for vocational training. And so all this is a big project for the future. It's a way that we can, in the name of Jesus, come to the people of Makunda. There's mostly Muslims, 60-70% people in Makunda Village are Muslim, and we can come to them with programming that they might be interested in, and at the same time put some Christian programming on there, some preaching, teaching, and worship programs that will get out to the people in Makunda and the greater Kenya area. And so this is a big vision. The children in the children's home are home from school right now. They go back next Monday, and so you can keep them in your prayers. We're going to need school fees to get them back in school, and other things for books. We'll need money for books and lunches and transportation, getting them back to school. So keep all that in your prayers. If you wish to contribute to help the children in their schooling and in their life, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and you'll have contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Well, today we're going to be talking about faith, the Christian faith, and how we obtain that faith. How do you grab a hold of that faith and walk in that faith? Some of you need to take your first step in the Christian faith, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and so you need to take that first step. But let me just say at the outset here, everything in the Christian walk, everything that you want to obtain or that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to obtain, to walk into, it is all obtained by faith. And there's nothing that's handed to you more or less by an open book. Yes, you have the open book of the Bible, but to believe in the words of the Bible, you need faith. And so God has given us all a measure of faith. But you need to activate that faith. You need to walk into it. You need to go forward and believe. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So in Hebrews, this is a great book written by the Apostle Paul. It was written by Hebrew people, written to Hebrew people, to the Israelites who had come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they were starting to drift back a bit into their Hebrew culture into their Hebrew life. And so Paul is talking to them about moving forward as Christians, as Messianic believers. We call them Messianic believers, as Christians. He's talking to them about moving forward in their life and how they can get to where they want to be from where they are now. And so many of you can relate to this. Some of you have been Christians for a long time in your life. Others of you are just starting out, and others of you aren't Christians at all. You've never confessed your faith. If you have the faith in Jesus Christ, you've never confessed it. You may be curious. You may be wondering. And so Paul says in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Well, let's break that down just a little bit. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And so when you hope for things that you don't know for sure if they're there, faith is the assurance that they are there. Faith is the assurance that what Jesus says about himself in the Bible is 100% truth. What God says about himself in the Bible is 100% truth. And all of the events and things that were written in the Bible actually happen, that they represent true events here on the earth, the same earth that you walk on. And so you have to have assurance of those things, and also things that are coming in the future into your life. You have to have assurance that those things that you hope for, those things that you believe for your life, for your family, for your nation, you have to have faith to believe that those things are actually going to come to pass, and the things that you hope for will become a reality. And then the conviction of things not seen, you are convinced that those things, even though you don't see them, you may not see the evidence of them, you may not see anything that gives you solid, concrete evidence that they are in reality, that they are coming to pass, or in the future that they will come to pass, but you are convinced that they will come to pass. You are convinced that they are real, and that is faith. Faith is coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God, the more you believe, the more you study the Word of God, the more you believe, the more you look into God's Word and apply it to your life, it builds your faith. You believe more when you study God's Word, because you see all of the acts of faith of the men and women of old. And so Paul talks about that here in verse 2 also. He says, For by faith, the men of old gained approval. For by faith, the men of old gained approval. And so Paul goes on to list all the people in the Bible, the roll call of faith, or we call it the roll call of faith. And so he lists many, many people there who exhibited great faith, who applied their great faith to do great works for the kingdom and great works for the people of Israel, great works for the kingdom of God. And so the same applies to us today, the very same thing. We have to apply our faith. We have to move forward in faith. We have to believe for things that we can't see, and we believe for things that look impossible, but to God they are possible. And so that is faith. By faith, the men of old gained approval. And then in verse 3, Paul says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." And so God spoke the world by wisdom. He spoke the world into existence. You can, to some extent, not 100%, but to some extent, you can speak your world into existence. Ultimately, God is a sovereign God, and He is the one who determines everything in our lives, but you can speak your world into existence to some extent, because your words shape your life. Your words shape your future. Your words shape your relationship with God. And the power of the tongue, the life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so what you speak over your life, when you speak blessings over your life, and you speak blessings over your family, you speak blessings over your job, over your farm, whatever it is that you are doing every day, you speak blessings over them, you ask God to bless them, and you believe in faith that He will. You believe in faith that He will bring to pass the things that you're asking for. And so that is faith, that God prepared the world by faith. He prepared the worlds by speaking into the world and speaking the existence of the world into being. And so, again, we can do that to some extent. You have to believe for things that you haven't seen. You have to believe for things before you even see any change. You believe and you keep speaking blessings over that. I think about the times that we prayed for the children's home there in Kenya, and we have a beautiful children's home, sits on about 4 acres of land. And I think about before we started to build that children's home, I was part with a pastor in Kenya, guy that I'd preached some crusades with and done some ministry with, and we started talking about having a home for children. And then we started looking for land. By the grace of God, we got money to buy the land. Took about $15,000 to do that. And then, by the grace of God, a team came over from the USA, and we dug that footing for that big house, and we built the house over about a year and a half period of time. We built the house and started to pray for children to come into the house. I have a caretaker over there, his name's Boniface, and he told me one time that we were waiting for children to be placed in our children's home, and he told me one time the Lord gave him a dream that there would be children running around on that property, children running in and out of that house. So I knew it was just a short matter of time before those children would come to our children's home. And sure enough, they did come. We've had between 22 and 33 children now for about 5 years. And so we're doing a great work for the children there in Kenya. The children are placed by the government of Kenya, by Kakamega County government. And so we have a children's home that was built by faith. The children were brought to us by faith. And so by faith, we continue to feed them. We continue to pay the help. We continue to pay for the caretaker and all the livestock. And so we have a great project for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to jump over now to Hebrews 11:6, and it says, this again is the Apostle Paul, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And so Paul is saying that the way to get to God, not for salvation, but the way to understand God, the way to seek God, the way to know God, is through faith. And so you have to utilize your faith. Everybody is given a measure of faith. You have some faith when you go out to your car that's going to start because you've seen evidence of that in the past. You have faith that the sun is going to come up every day because you've seen evidence of that in the past. And so when you take that measure of faith that God has given you and you believe for things that you have not yet seen, you have that conviction that those things are going to come to pass in your life, and you believe without any doubt that those things are going to come to pass, then you're starting to exercise your faith, and you can do great exploits for the kingdom of God because you believe that God will be with you, He will sustain you, He will provide for you the things that you need. And just as I was talking about the children's home, we built a church the same way. I remember going up, we first bought a piece of land. Then we took all the church people up there. There was about 40 of us, and we held hands, made a big circle around this property, and we prayed for God to bring the money to build that church. And we built that church in 3 or 4 months. The money came in. We spent about $40,000 building that church. The money came in. We did everything just as God instructed us to do it. And we got that church built. And now we've already celebrated 5 years of meeting in that church. And so it's been a glorious exercise. It's been a glorious time in that church because we stepped out in faith believing that we could do it. And my thanks go out to you here in the U.S., supporters of this ministry, supporters of our projects there in Africa. And so we have been blessed by the presence of that church as well as the presence of the children's home. Well, I'm going to talk about faith unto salvation now in the time that we have left. Faith unto salvation. You may not be saved. You may not even know what it means to be saved. There's some people out there listening to me today who are curious, and you tuned into this broadcast today not knowing for sure what was going to be said, not knowing for sure what your response would be to what is being said. But it takes faith to become saved. It takes faith to step into that place of salvation and know for sure that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Know for sure that your life has been set aside by Jesus once you become saved, that you will be sanctified. You will grow in your faith. You will grow in your walk. And all of that comes when you believe, when you're convinced by the words of God as they're written in His Bible and the evidence of your life as you walk it out every day. Walk out those things that God calls you to do. Walk out your destiny. Walk out your calling, those things that God has ordained for you beforehand, the works that come after your salvation. You walk those out. You make them a part of your life. And that is the experience of faith unto salvation. So I'm going to go here to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This again is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the Christians in Rome. And he says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we are preaching. And that's not to be confused with some denominations or some streams of Christian teaching here in the USA that are called word of faith teaching. I don't have anything against them, but that's not what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here. He's speaking about the word of faith which we are preaching, which is basically the whole New Testament. Basically, even more than that, the whole Bible, which is the word of faith that we are preaching. Some people erroneously say that the Apostle Paul was not speaking for Jesus. He was not ordained to speak for Jesus or not anointed to speak for Jesus. I don't agree with that at all. I think that's an erroneous teaching. I think it's heresy. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. They're there because God ordained him by the grace of God. He raised him up to do exactly what he did. By the grace of God, Paul was set aside to work for the kingdom, and he did what God called him to do. And so Paul was ordained to speak for God. He was ordained to speak for Jesus, and the words of Paul have the same meaning, the same power, the same anointing as the words of Jesus Christ. So in Romans 10:8, again, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So this is the way salvation works. First, you are convicted of your sin. The Holy Spirit has been sent to the earth, has been given to people all over the earth to convict them of their sin. When people realize that they're sinners, then they start to understand the cross that Jesus Christ was nailed on. They start to understand the impact of the cross on their life, the impact of having a sacrifice given, a ransom paid for their sin. And so by faith, you start to understand that Jesus Christ died for you. And by faith, you start to understand that the sacrifice that he made, the ransom that he paid, will cover your sin. You start to get an understanding of that, and your sin nature, you start to get an understanding of your sin nature and the reason that you are separated from God. And by faith, then, you start to come back to God. By faith, you start to acknowledge Jesus Christ in your life. By faith, you start to acknowledge that ransom paid. And so Paul says there in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And why is it important to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? It is because when you contemplate the resurrection, when you consider the resurrection, you are also then understand the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he was not just an ordinary man. He was not a natural man. Yes, he lived as a natural man. He underwent temptation just as all men do. He went through suffering and pain as all men do. But he was raised from the dead to prove that he was divine. He was raised from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God. And he was raised from the dead to prove that the devil no longer had power over him. And that is also an inspiration and an example to us, to show us that the devil no longer has power over us. The devil has no power over our death, that we will live on after we die on this earth. After our natural death, we will live on for all eternity. Death has no power over us. Death, where is your sting? And so we have been set free by the blood of Jesus and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, back again to Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so belief starts in your heart. Once you get convicted of that sin in your life, once you get convicted of the fact that you are not perfect, there's no way you can come to know God, truly come to know God, without accepting Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice, it starts in your heart. It doesn't start when you get put in the waters of baptism. It doesn't start when you die, when you're earthly body dies. It starts in your heart while you are alive. And so you have to make the decision while you're alive. You have to believe and have faith to believe for that afterlife, for that eternal life with Jesus Christ. All of that comes by faith. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? That is the desire for right living. That is the desire to keep the precepts that are written down in God's word. Keep the precepts, not keep the law as in a law keeper, that you're trying to obtain salvation by keeping the law, but you're obtaining salvation by stepping out in faith and believing that you can be a righteous person. And beloved, you can, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're trapped in addictions, maybe you're trapped in pornography, maybe you're trapped in being a liar or a thief. I don't know what you're trapped in. Everybody has challenges in their life. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe, resulting in righteousness, that you can live a righteous life, that you can start to be conformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that you can be conformed into the kind of person that you want to be. And even the most wretched sinner, even the most wretched criminal, people who have done despicable things and even sitting in prison this very day for things that they've done. You can live a righteous life. You can come to know Jesus Christ and live a kind of life that is exemplified by the life of Jesus Christ. So for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so you believe in your heart, you believe that you can be righteous, and you start to live a righteous life, and then you confess what is happening in your heart, what your heart believes. You confess it with your mouth, because we confess all kinds of things in our life. We confess that we like prime rib and baked potato. We confess that we like Kansas City Chiefs. We confess that we like our wife or love our wife and our children. So you confess Jesus Christ. You open your mouth and you use your tongue and you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, for the Scripture says, whoever believes, verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. And so you step out in faith, believing that you will not be disappointed. You step out in faith, believing that your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. You step out in faith, believing that you can live a righteous life, and whatever sins you have had in your life, whatever addictions, whatever strongholds have taken you down and taken you away from God, whatever strongholds have taken you away from your family and the things in life that you desire, they can be covered by the blood of Jesus. They can be changed by the blood of Jesus. They can be modified, and you can go forward in your new walk into your destiny. What God has called you to do, the highest things that you have been called to do, you can accomplish those things for the kingdom of God. And beloved, it can happen for you. It happened for me. It happened for the Apostle Paul. And you can move forward in your kingdom walk, believing everything that God has for you shall come to pass. Well, I'm going to close here with verse 12 and 13 in this chapter 10. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That can be you today. That can be you. And God's plan for you then will come to pass. I hope you grab a hold of it by faith today. Let me know if you make a decision, pureprairie@hotmail.com. If you have prayer requests or anything else you'd like to discuss, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know and we can talk to you, get you started in your Christian walk. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today. Write us out a check of support. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.